Welcome to the Caligo Universe, where I, Miles Brown, will be introducing a brand that wants to create a safe space for non-believers and new to the faith baby Christians in Christ to ask questions about the Bible and have them answered by a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. To support this brand and our vision to spread the true gospel of Jesus Christ, please visit caligo.store. It will open at the end of January. The brand prays for your safety. Amen. Now to our show. Talking about how would you put it, Raheem, like a transitional period in your life?
Life after college,
transition, that transition. And we were talking about when you go out of state for school and you start to build a life out there, and then maybe something happens, an opportunity doesn't go through like you want, and you make the decision to come back home. And what that mentality does to you once you get back home. If there isn't any real difference between the cities that you went to.
Well, I went to college at North Carolina A&T. So there was definitely a big difference in my environments. Back home was, you know, technically Maryland, but like Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia, so... For those who live in the DMV area, you know, it's always bustling. There's always something to do, you know. You can go to, like I said, the northern part of Virginia, like, you know, Arlington and...
Crystal City.
Yeah, you know, Tyson's Corner. And there's stuff there. You can go to Washington, D.C. There's stuff there. Exactly. There's stuff everywhere you can do within this area. But in Greensboro, you know... There's just Greensboro. Let me compare Greensboro to the size of Silver Spring.
Wow.
That's the all of Greensboro.
So the opportunity wasn't really.
It was that much. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so you went to college and got educated in a place that didn't have as much economical opportunities as the place you came from.
Absolutely.
So that was the reason for going back.
Well, yeah, you know, I was working, by the time I got to my senior year, I not only was I going to school, I was working two jobs. I would wake up, go to work in the morning, go to school in the midday, and then go to work again in the evening.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. And do it, you know, about 4 or 5 days a week.
Mm.
And, you know, I didn't like my jobs. You know, it's a small, rinky-dy town, so... It's not many corporate jobs unless you work for like a bank or some type of agricultural marketing office or something like that. And, you know, other than that, it was just a bunch of commercial jobs. And so, you know, there's nowhere near as much economic opportunity as there is up here.
And this is why sometimes you do have to pick where you're being educated at for what you want to do or accomplish. You see what I'm saying now?
Yeah.
It's like you have to know before. Like, a lot of times, when people come back home after, they kind of downplayed their advantage geographically. They downplayed it. You know what I'm saying? And then when they kind of got out of it and maybe went somewhere lesser economically advantaged, they kind of realize like, ooh, oh no, I'd rather be a small fish in a big pond, in a big, big ocean than a small fish in a big pond.
Yeah.
It's like, nah, I don't want to do that.
And, you know, it was very, you know, I didn't land, you know, I definitely was working for an internship. You know, I was... always on top of updating my resume and going to interviews. And I even, you know, had slipped up and realized that, you know, I was doing wrong and got back on the dean's list. You know what I'm saying? Like, my whole last year.
Wow.
And so I was definitely geared towards chasing a bag.
Okay.
You know, getting some cheese, sustaining myself, not mm-hmm. trying to go back home.
Right.
But after that didn't happen after graduation, you know, some of my friends did, you know, they landed good internships with companies, but, you know, some of these companies, I didn't know the name of, or I was like, oh, okay, that's not really, you know, even what you wanted to do or what we was all expecting, but hey, congratulations, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, I ain't sweating them, but, you know, they definitely made do. And so, you know, with both of my two commercial jobs, I just did, you know, I'm realizing now that maybe I should have trapped it out, but I definitely did not want to do, like, I did not like those jobs. You know, I wasn't grateful for them at the time, definitely wasn't in the mind of Jesus, and, you know, I was like, man, bump this, you know, I got better opportunity back home,
mm-hmm.
and so I came back home, and, you know, tried to make something, and that didn't work out, and tried to make something again, and that didn't work out, and now I'm on my third try.
Now, you know we believe in Jesus, so we can't be talking about no third try, third time's a charm and all that, but, you know, I believe, like God says, man, when you fall down, you get up again, until when you get up, you realize you're walking. And you fine and you good, you know, because at some point a failure isn't really a failure ever. It's just a lesson along your journey, and it's just transitions. You know, you might be learning a lesson from all of these things that's going to combine to be the winning formula for you, but in the time of collecting those skills, it doesn't feel good in the beginning, especially when you haven't like mastered your own economics, you know.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it's just difficult. Like I said, you know, I came back, you know, thought things would be different because there are more opportunities. And, you know, there are, but then it became about the same thing how it was down there, just being qualified. But now the qualifications were
gone through the roof.
Yeah, they were even more than they were in the small place.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like,
And that's
make it make sense. That's about to be my saying for 2021 already. Make it make sense.
But you have to understand that a lot of times when you're young, you don't have strategic planning skills like you will as you get older. You know what I'm saying? Like, because strategically you could have said, okay, what type of network do I want to build up? Let me think about North Carolina and research the area. Let me think about where I am currently. And then if you look at where you are currently, you're like, it's a huge tech bubble here. It's the government is right close, federal, all of these different things. They would have shown up, and you would have like been able to make a better choice, you know.
Absolutely. Like I said, man, I just gotta keep trying. Like you said, keep getting up, keep praying and stumbling. Work out in my favor.
Yeah, I think the strategic planning part of it is just from the thought of every time you take an L, you can cross that part off and start to focus on areas that you haven't tried yet, you know? And one day, you'll end up in the place you need to be at the time you're supposed to be there, and things are going to connect. But all of the skills and time that you need to acquire to get there takes your undivided attention to, like, be focused on mastering some skill that will become profitable for you, that you can market yourself. And you can even market yourself to corporate. You can market yourself as an entrepreneur. You can market yourself as a teacher. Whatever you have to do, you have to master it. And that mastery takes time. And during that mastery, sometimes you're not as economically, you know, you're not able to move into your own place. So you're not able to do things that you see other people doing. But you slow yourself down the more you look at other people. You have to keep your eye on the prize. And you'll get there so much faster than checking on what your competitors are doing in other lanes, you know? Just worry about what you do. You know? So, thank y'all so much for tuning in. Do you have anything else for me? You know, we gotta pray.
Oh yeah, I did forget. I definitely didn't forget about that. Okay. I guess you know, I just gotta go back into wow. I got another. Basically, I just gotta go back into that mode that I was in college. I gotta go back to the hustler mode. Cause when I, like I said, working two jobs and going to class, man, that ain't easy, bro.
No.
Oh my gosh, man! I used to, like, my friends used to be like, "Yo, hey, you try?" He's like, "Man, I'm going to bed. I'm tired." You know what I'm saying? Like, I used to
But see, this is why I say develop that skill. Like, continue with the day trading. You know what I'm saying? Continue to invest in that skill, because if that's something you truly want to develop, it's there. It's possible. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it may not happen year one, year two, year three, year four. Maybe year five, you become profitable. But it's, what are you developing as a skill set to take care of you long term, you know, because jobs, industries, they come, they go, they collapse, but skills don't, because skill sets can be transferable, you know what I'm saying? But that company job, that good old company job, you can lose that.
Absolutely. You know? And it's funny how you bring up day trading, man. I haven't really been on it, you know. I kind of took a break from it. But, you know, his enrollment just opened, and, you know, I think I just got enough to, you know, at least pay for the first month, and, you know, just a lot.
You gotta lock back in.
Yeah.
You know, because, and see, this is what I'm glad that we talking about this, too, because this goes with the cares of the world. Once we start getting too introspective about what's going on out in the world, this, that, and the third, we kind of forget what God is doing with us, you know, and the things that our purpose that we're here for, you know, because if you want your purpose right, you'd be learning that day trading and getting closer and closer and closer every single day and learning those, getting those failures out the way, so that in 5 years, you'll be like, dog, it's been 5 years since I've been day trading. I'm a beast now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember back in such and such and such, you know? And it's like,
and I do that, man. Like, I look through my old screenshots and I'm like, hey, I was actually kind of good. Like, you know, maybe I did take screenshots of the bad days, but just looking at the possibility that, hey, I was actually doing this at one point. And I was actually, you know, succeeding. And I even saw that, like, you know, I was always trying to go for the big jump, you know, the big fish, instead of just, you know, taking my little catches with my little rod at the time. And I knew my mistakes. I'm looking at it, I'm like, wow, I was up like $200. Why didn't I just close in and be good for the day?
I wanted that big
$2,000. I did.
You know, and instead of taking the more consistent route, the 70%, you took the 30, and that 30 was crushing. You know.
I was taking the
10. Dang, you were taking the 10. Jeez.
I mean, it's just that, like you said, I was always trying to go for the big fish, and so I knew the scope. Mm-hmm. Like I could just get it. Make my little bid and get out, but I was never fine with that.
Wow.
You know, like, I really, like, when I look back, I'm just like, dang. Like, I be looking at how I got my chart, and I'm like, okay, I was on it.
But see, at some point, it's going to click to you that it's about how much is in your account versus how much you had one day.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's about percentage growth.
Yeah, if I had $400,000 trading portfolio and I'm making the same consistent gains that I was making when I had a $5,000 portfolio, that's insane. But it's just like, how do you get to the $400,000 if you can't master just staying consistent at, you know, so it's just like you're really teaching yourself to be very disciplined and to understand that a loss isn't a loss forever. It's just a loss for the day.
No, for real. And, like, honestly, I was not thinking like that, man. I was trying to...
And look, y'all, I've been learning my little stock. And I'm telling you right now, if they peeked at my little account, they'd be like, ooh! Consistency. Consistency. You know what I'm saying? You know? And it's funny because, like, not too long ago, I had got a bad tip on a stock, right? And I threw, thank God, I only threw a little bit of cash in it just to see. Bro, that thing been losing left and right.
Wow.
Left and right. And I'm like, this is one of the best markets. And bad information still found its way to me to get a bad stock in my ear. You know? I'm like, we really got to stay
focused.
We really got to stay focused.
Find his way to slither right in.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Definitely, man. I appreciate it. Getting back into the start. I'm gonna get back into my man, Mr. Wow. I forgot his name. That's how long it's been.
I found some new dude too today.
Really? What's his name?
And he trade Forex, actually. And some other markets. Swaggy C, you ever heard of him? He's 25 and he's like already made millions off of Forex as a trader. And his information is bite-sized and like really easy to like understand. And it's entertaining actually, you know? So that's definitely a great person that I would put on to checking out if you want to increase a skill set and kind of play with an account and see what you would do, you know? And that goes for you and that goes for the listenership.
I remembered his name, Mr. Huddleston.
Huddleston, yeah.
Huddleston. ICT. Sacrifices.
Yeah, this is the time to sacrifice because you're not going to look back at this time and be like, dang, I'm mad I put in 20-hour work weeks. Because really what you're going to have to think is, what else was I doing that I put in 80 hours or 90 hours? Like, I'm not doing anything else. So what's the why? What's stopping me from putting that type of energy into changing my situation? especially if it's my economical situation, because that determines a lot of your quality of life. You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody making 20 bands a month is doing way better quality of life if they got their head on straight than somebody who maybe is at 3 or 4 thousand a month. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that person can afford to take care of themselves so much better. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, when you don't have it like that, you don't understand how important it is to stay focused so that you do have it like that. It just seems so far away that you're like, oh, F it. You know, like, I ain't even going, you know, like, today is all right, I'm good. And it's just like, you don't want 20 years of today's I'm all right and I'm good. Because when them jumps sneak up on you and you like, dang, I could have put in 10 years and been where? I could have been what? I could have did, huh? I was slipping. That's not what you want to wake up to. And I'm telling you, you're young. Who cares if you get some sleepless nights? Go out there and make something completely happen. You don't even need sleep.
You don't even need sleep, man. Not as much as we think.
So, use that motivation to actually tap in and understand that it's about developing a skill. One skill will make enough money and income from the people who need that skill than you developing 15 or 20 of them at the same time. If you just master one skill, that one will pay for you to master any other skill after that. So once you become a master in one thing, that's why the world opens up like it does. And you can travel and go anywhere because you're needed everywhere because you've mastered one thing, you know? So at least you can set up shop and be like, yeah, I do this, you know? Because if you're an acupuncturist, you can go anywhere, set up a shop, live anywhere, change your cost of living, whatever, and just be like, nah, yeah, this is what I do.
Right.
You know? So, I don't know. I think it's much more simple than what people try to make it out to be. And I think the people that are at the top of the mountain try to make it sound complex a lot of times to sell books. But, like, at the end of the day, it's super duper simple.
Just gotta be focused.
You gotta be focused. Like, I be putting out videos and Instagrams of my workers out here really putting in work because it just reminds people, oh, these services exist. I need this. Oh, yeah, I needed a company. And he put the link right in the thing. Oh, perfect. You know, sometimes you not slipping is making somebody else's life so much easier, too. You know, that's like being a blessing by being on your hustle. Because now, company call you, they need you to come in, take care of some stuff. You knock it out, 15 minutes, they good. Everybody, you know, leave from that situation blessed. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, we in the blessing business, you know what I'm saying? And you can't be a, if you can't be a blessing and you can't be used, worthless, right? You know? And it's not that nobody's worthless, it's that what? They're not tapping into what's already there. It's already there in everybody. It's just, are you tapped in or not? And we both know that the tap in starts with Jesus.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Are you feeling further away from Jesus right now?
No, I even feel like, you know, going through what I went through brought me closer, you know, made me stronger, you know, coming out on the other side, because, you know, I was constantly praying through the whole thing, and I'm realizing, you know, like, yeah, I want to realize it sooner versus, you know, talking to people in certain ways, and I definitely want to, you know, not get caught up so quickly because, you know, you, like you said, like, you talk to somebody, then you realize after, like...
But I don't feel further made it to Leviticus. So definitely getting more interlocked with Jesus, as you can say. Definitely getting more understanding. And I just want to keep growing, man. I just want to keep growing, learning about him specifically, to, you know, opening my eyes to the truth. But I really want to be even more of what I am, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does. I mean, because you're at a place where coming with Jesus costs you something, you know? Honestly, like, once you find out who Jesus is and you know what's coming for us, it's like you're living with a burden of Christ. But through Christ, Christ makes that burden easy, because he takes care of everything else, you know. And yeah, you have to suffer to stay on the straight and narrow, because the world is like coming at you from every side. But at the same time, what God is showing you is that pressure makes diamonds, you know. He's getting you shined up from those battles where the swords are sharpening each other, you know. And that final cut and that final blow is not going to be delivered by you. It's going to be delivered by him. And he may do it through you, but ultimately it'll be through him.
Yeah. I definitely know it'll be through him. Again, maybe I'm just confused because I just want to make sure that I'm doing the right thing. You know.
Have you searched your heart?
Well, I mean, I definitely ask specific questions.
No. Have you searched your own heart? To really ask yourself questions that may arise, and really see what your answers are on them, and see if it aligns with the word of God, you know. Like, really take some time to really think about your relationships with people, your relationships with yourself, your relationship with God, and truly search your heart, your own heart. And ask yourself, is there anything in here that could be hindering my walk with God? And I believe God will confirm it if you do see it. Because sometimes we have to take an inventory of ourselves. Like, sometimes we forget that as sinners, we came through with so much baggage and so much this, so much that, that when he lifts it all off of you, sometimes we forget that it's some stuff that is still hidden. You know, some stuff that you still got a longing for. It's some stuff that you're going to have to fight until you die, just because that's what it is. But right, if you can truly keep asking yourself and asking God to show you where you need to be clean at, it's only going to benefit you.
Now, that's what I'm saying. I definitely ask him specific questions, as like, what do I need to do to keep giving me, like, what, like, can you guide me so that I can stop doing wrong if I'm doing wrong? And just,
but I feel like, you know, if you're doing wrong, he gave you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not going to allow you to do something that's wrong necessarily. You're going to feel something ain't right when you're doing something that's wrong. Like, have you ever done something that's wrong and not felt something?
No, you always feel something.
So that's what I'm saying, like, as far as searching, like, search through your own mind and see things that you may have asked yourself, like, was that of God how I handled that, or how I do these, or if this situation was to pose, how would I handle this? You know what I'm saying? What does the word say about handling this? And see if it
really... That's all I do, bro.
That's good.
All I...
That's all we
and
can.
And trying to put in my right in myself is just, you know, living the word. Because I know that our way is flawed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Whatever we think is right is flawed.
But understand that it's a perfection that we will never meet. And that's why Jesus is so awesome, because as much as we strive, we're still men falling through sin. Even though God has cleaned us up and making us white as snow, I don't believe that any man lives until he dies without committing any wrong sin. You know, like, I believe you stop doing the things that God shows you, but I feel like at some point you're going to transgress something at some point throughout your, you know, like stuff that you may not even seen coming just make you react wrong, you know, just because you may be unaware and it just is what it is. But I don't think that if you're really truly walking with God and you repent and you turn from your ways like you're supposed to, that God is displeased with you. You know, sometimes when God sends you adversity, he's actually happy with you. Because he's like, oh, now if you go through this, I can bless you with this. You know, but a lot of times we don't think of it from the Christian perspective of the trials being a test. Because God talks about testing us all the time. Because after we pass certain tests, he can trust us and give us things that we weren't ready for before those tests.
Right. I understand that.
Right. So we got to get those things by going through these tough times. But we can't get through these tough times if we don't remind ourselves that we're going to go through these tough times and that it's okay. Don't try to rush past tough times. Just stay focused so that you're not there forever. Because there could be something in that tough time you're supposed to learn. But sometimes we so ready to get past the tough time that we forget. And we end up back in. Yeah, we come back right into that same problem. And God is like, yo, just slow down. Go through this. Learn what I need you to learn from this. And when you leave from this this place in your life that you feel down, now you can go knowing how to not end up here again. And even if you do end up here again, you know that it can be overcome. So you leave with something every single time, no matter what. And to be honest, if there was no challenge in life, this John would be born. And God, he wants us to live fulfilled lives, so we have to have challenges. Now, I do believe that our challenges would have been much different if we didn't sin, you know.
The challenge is sin.
Right, the challenge is sin. We picked our own challenge.
Right, because, you know, doing the right thing all the time is hard enough in itself.
Exactly. Because sin is running rampant and it's everywhere, you know, so sometimes a part of your life may be locked in bondage and that time is being wasted, you know, and you don't even know. But that demon is sucking that time out of that bondage from things that could have elevated your life. But who's focused on that while they're living daily, you know? Not many people.
Definitely a lot of people focusing on Jesus. I don't know what they focusing on. That's all I focus on.
The game. Oh, the game on. Oh, the new Netflix on. Oh, the new this, the new that, the new this, the new that. It's something new everywhere. And then the Instagrams and all of that, that's 24 hours for you.
Everything 24 hours for you.
And it's just like, we don't realize we living in Wally. They didn't have to take us to space to take us to the theoretical idea of Wally. You know, it's already here.
I don't think I ever watched Wally.
Yeah, I watched it today with Yosh. And that movie still blows me away how much predictive programming was like legitimately in that.
Wow. So you really see these kids, you like, yo. These songs is like Disney and Pixar is wild.
They're like, sinister. Like, and not even sinister, they're just puppets, bro. They're just puppets, you know. I mean, it's everybody is being controlled by the same thing. It echoes through everything. It just is what it is, you know. And that's why, like, when God gives you that vision to see it, it's like, oh, okay. None of this crap is as important as what it's being marketed to me as. But the world and everyone around me is going to try to reinforce that it is. And you have to literally focus your mind and say, no, God is the only thing that's really worth my time. And what he leads me into and what he puts in my heart to do, what he wants me to actually achieve, and he confirms in my life, that's the only thing that truly matters. And when you're there, the world looks completely different. Opportunities look completely different. Obstacles look completely different because you're excited to see how God is going to bring you out of this instead of being like a baby Christian and like, oh my God, woe is me. I'm in this. It's like, that's the murmur and the complaining in the woods, in the wilderness. Like our forefathers who traveled in the desert, and God didn't let the murmuring and complaining generation come into the promised land. He let them all die out and then gave their children the promise that he promised them. Because he still allowed the bloodline to get it. And what I'm saying is we're right now building a generation of people who...
victims.
I mean, but right, no. Like, what we're doing with this podcast, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Is like,
okay.
We're truly building up a generation of people who are stopping the woe is me. And we're at a place where we want God to change us. So now we're changing the world. It's no more, oh, I'm complaining about my situation. It's, I'm only doing what God wants me to do. No complaining, and we getting to work.
Yeah, I'm not focused on nothing else.
Not focused on nothing else. We just getting to work.
I'm not focused on slavery. I'm not focused on
none of that.
The
original people.
Things. I'm not focused on, you know, nothing but one book. I ain't reading no other books. And that's where I'm at. It's like I got one book that literally sets the foundation for life.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people need to revisit that book daily. You know what I'm saying? To like get a crash course in what the Father in heaven truly wants from us right now in the last days. But people aren't realizing the times that we're in. They're perilous. You know, we're in perilous times. A lot of people...
Yeah, they're paralyzed.
Yeah, they're paralyzed. Mind. Yeah, of course. Of course. Because like you said, the fear has set in from the fear-mongering rotating on the news 24 hours a day. Like, we know things are dangerous. We know what's going on. To update us that rapidly about it on a consistent loop is detrimental to your mind. Like, you're going to be much more afraid than what you would have been if you just got the information like back in the day. Like, oh yeah, I heard such and such happen. Ooh, girl, stay in house, protect yourself, do this, do that. That's a reasonable fear. But when it's programmed through your TV and your entertainment and you're watching this thing over on a loop
every
you're
day.
Gonna be super scared. Like, you're gonna be afraid to leave your home. Like, and I think that's the problem with it. It doesn't set realistic standards for what's going on mentally and the fragility of people's mind, because people are hanging on by a string. When you're economically disadvantaged and you're trying to figure out what your next step is, people, you're super vulnerable to being fear-mongered too.
Yeah, they more complaining about, you know, this little $600 stimulus rather than getting a job. Like, they're more concerned about what the government is giving them than the actual bigger picture of understanding. Like, knowing that the money ain't even worth nothing. Knowing that, or not seeing how these big companies like are merging, not seeing how things are still increasing the price in grocery stores. You know what I'm saying? It's like they giving that to you because they want you to stay in the state that you are in. They want you to be the sheeple that you're acting like. But y'all so focused and just asking for more money. More money to spend where? What you gonna do with it? You just giving it right back to them.
But see, everybody's in this idea that money is gonna solve their condition.
Yeah. And that's what I'm not in. That's what I'm far removed from. At this point with Jesus, I'm like, we shouldn't even be operating. Well, I mean, could we misuse it? We abuse it. But it's the staple in everybody's life.
Because it this society and capitalism has made it that way.
This is really, no, it's Babylon. Babylon. It's Babylon structure, period. Everything is based on
He who has the money makes the rules.
Everything is based on a false currency. Everything is based on a piece of paper. Yeah, that's Babylon. You can't trust nobody where the paper ain't, you could just tear it up and then it ain't worth nothing. So it ain't like it hold any type of value. But yet, this what everybody need to, like you said, survive.
Exactly. That's really Babylon. The thing is, that's how you realize that the game is rigged before you get into it. Like the sin, the earth was fallen in sin before you got here. Like the system was in place before you got here. Think about that. You know, like, you can only forecast what was driven into your mind through media during the time that you were alive. Like, you're not accounting for what other people may have known in different times and dispensations about what's about to happen to you. And then when you zoom out even more and you think of that global intelligence and where all of those books are that have been written, and then you zoom out again and you go all the way to God. And you think, wow, he actually has all of the events written down that are going to happen in every single person's life. And one choice is actually going to determine whether or not these people accept me and learn to walk in my ways or reject me and continue as the world. Do you realize, like, so many people aren't going to make it? Like, so I the said, world is in chaos.
Because you ask people if they believe in Jesus, and they say yeah, but you don't see it reflected in their lives, one bit. And it make sense, people. Make it make sense. You can't say you believe in Jesus, but it don't reflect in your life. In not one area. Well, it may be in one area, but that's not enough. I just can't accept it.
It's not enough.
Accept it. Jesus got to be reflected in every part of your life. Not just one. But I digress. Let's get this prayer on, brother.
This water went down the wrong pipe.
Oh, man. I'm sorry.
But, okay. Matter of fact, Heem, you start us.
Lord Heavenly Father, we come to you today and to thank you for getting us here today, Lord. Thank you for having us able to spread your word and spread your message and be able to live your word, you know, through the scriptures that you have provided us. Lord, we thank you for keeping our loved ones safe and secure during this perilous time. And we ask that you touch us so that we are able to lead our families and do the right thing in your name, and able to teach other people the truth and avoid the deception of Satan. Lord, we come to you today and we ask for your strength and we ask for your courage. And we ask for your wisdom, most importantly, so that we are able to understand and we are able to bring this understanding to our loved ones than other people and other true believers in Christ. Lord, I just want to come to you today and to ask you to, again, Lord, to remove all the bad things that I am still doing in my life and to show me what I need to do to move further along in my journey with you and to grow my relationship with you. Lord, I am asking because you know what desires are in my heart. You know my true desires, Lord. And you know that I want to just please you. And you know that I want to take care of my family and show them, you know, the true way to you, Jesus. And God, I ask that you, you know, you keep just guiding Miles and I, and you keep just walking with us and, you know, keeping us healthy, keeping us safe in your word, and keeping us strong. And just keep on keeping, Lord. You know, we come to you every day and we ask for forgiveness, Lord. And we ask for your mercy and we ask to just be covered in your love, Lord, covered in your blood, so that we are, you know, protected from you, from Satan. And we are able to, again, you know, just see through the deception and be prepared and be able to live in your word and be able to bask in your light, Lord, that glory light. Lord, I want to ask if, you know, trading is right for me. I want to ask what job I need to do to get this house for my future family. What do I need to do so that I can, you know, get from under my mother so that I'm able to be a man of God, Lord, and not be under the reins of that woman? As you know that they are not right. And God, I just ask that you look after me economically and physically as I, you know, have recovered from that illness, and that you, you know, bless me so that I am able to feed myself and take care of myself with my finances and take care of myself and be able to take care of Carly, and so that, you know, Lord, I just want to, just want my own life, Lord. Just want my own life, Lord. I want to be my own man with you as the head, Lord. And I thank you for Miles, Lord. I thank you for, you know, always having your angel with me and for providing me with a circle of fellowship with, you know, Malik and Miles and Lawrence and Sam and other people who, you know, praise your name, you know, who also have just not only introduced me to you, Lord, but they teach me so much about you, Lord. And I thank you for them. I thank you again, you know, even for my family, as much as, you know, they are removed, you know, from your ways, Lord. I just know that you put me here for a reason, Lord. And I just ask for that reason to be revealed, so, and ask for you to work through me in the Holy Spirit so that I am over my selfish ways and I can just, and I can live and I can prosper even, you know, in this time of who knows. Because people are just acting crazy, Lord. People are just acting crazy. Everywhere you go, everyone got their own way of thinking, Lord. But you know us true believers in you, we got one way of thinking, Lord. And that's the way that you have made it be, Lord. Lord, I just want to thank you again for everything. I even hope that I'm praying right. And I hope that you're listening to me. I just want to be right. I just hope that you're listening to me, Lord. For real.
Amen. 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 Father God, I want to come to you today. First, thanking you and lifting up him, Lord God, in prayer Father, I know what it is like to go through a troublesome time. I know what it's like to be in transition. I know what it's like to want to provide for your future family. I know what it's like to be new to the understanding of the word of God and understand what that means for your life and the transition that that is taking spiritually in his life. And Father, I pray for supernatural strength from your throne, Lord God Jesus, to come down into his life, to create the atmosphere of peace around him, Lord God Jesus, that he can actually see and understand your will in his life, Lord God. Father, make his path more clear, Lord God Jesus. Give the young man dreams, Lord God Jesus, so that he understands his path much more clearly, Lord. Father, speak to him in a way that will communicate directly to his heart, Lord God, to where he cannot refuse and understand what it is that you are calling him to do with his life, Lord God. Father, use him, Lord God Jesus, while he is young, Lord God, to make a huge impact in your kingdom, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord God Jesus, over his life. I pray, Lord God Jesus, that he continues to make the impact that he has already made by sharing his story, sharing his life, and sharing his self, Lord God Jesus, with the masses, Lord, to let them to understand who you are, who you truly are, and understand that his flame has just begun to grow, Lord God, and that as it kindles, Father, that it turns into a roaring flame, Lord God, here that the enemy will have to compete with, Lord God. But until then, we pray for protection, a hedge of protection around him, Lord God, to stroke those flames as they grow, Lord God Jesus, so that the winds that come from the enemy do not blow away the fire, Lord God Jesus, in the Holy Spirit that resides in him. And Father, I thank you, and we pray for this nation. We pray for Maryland, D.C., Virginia, Lord God. We pray for our home. We pray for our loved ones. We pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord God Jesus, that a peace will overwhelm them, Lord God Jesus, that surpasses all understanding, Lord God Jesus, that they tap into who you truly are, Lord God, and that heaven will be upon them right there in that moment. And it will smile on them, Lord God. And Father, I pray for your love. I thank you for your righteousness. I pray your righteousness over everyone who is listening to this, that they leave this and cannot look at sin the same way, that they look at sin the way you look at it, Lord God Jesus, and they abstain and stay fearfully and wonderfully made, Lord God Jesus. And Father, we pray arrows against the enemy, Lord God Jesus, right now. We send all types of destruction to the camp and to the enemies, Lord God Jesus, and everything that he is setting up against us, Lord God. Father, we fight, Lord God Jesus, with your generals, your angels, Lord God Jesus, that you send with your message and your word to fight against these principalities that control these cities. Father, I see what's going on with LA, Lord God Jesus. That demon is raging absolutely crazy, Lord God. And Father, I pray spiritually against the demon of LA. I pray against the demon of New York. I pray against the demon of Washington, D.C. I pray against the demon, Lord God Jesus, that tries to come up against you, which is Satan himself, Lord God. And Father, I pray that you break these strongholds in this nation. And I pray, Lord God Jesus, that you bless us to stay obedient to your name, Lord God, to what you said, to your word, Father. And in Jesus' name we pray, and I give you thanks and honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank y'all so much for tuning into the Caligo podcast. I pray that this has been a blessing to your soul, and continue to tune in. And
till next time.
Till next time. Peace.
Peace.
That surpasses all understanding.